This hour brought to you by LibertyOnCall.org. Take back your independence, control, and make your own healthcare decisions. LibertyOnCall.org. Together, we are one.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alan on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Just had a nice talk with Michael Savage during the break, and he said, Alex, you're the only host that gets me to blow my voice out. You bring out my anger. I'm going to have to air this interview on my show today. And I said, he asked permission. I said, of course, feel free to do it. He's still going to be live later this afternoon, but part of the show will be this last hour because he did just blow his voice out. He was coughing during the break. Because it is, we're being assaulted. And even if you don't agree with me 100% or Michael Savage 100%, we are being conquered. And we're not being conquered like, you know, the Romans show up and they give you aqueducts and you're still kind of a slave, but, you know, it's better than the slavery you had a year before. Because you could argue some of those regimes, you know, about 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, well, 2,200 years ago when the real Roman Empire started up, were worse than the Romans. It's not like loving space aliens have showed up that want to give us free energy. It's like aliens have showed up that want to harvest our organs or something. And I'm not saying the globalists are aliens. It's an analogy. They don't have our best interest at heart. They have disdain for the public. They live on these giant, beautiful resort community areas on thousands of acres apiece, people like Pelosi and others. And then they're at war with free market rich people, because I know, I've been in these communities, I know a lot of rich people, I've been invited to some very interesting places, and they'll be like helicopter pads across the way, and they'll say, yeah, that guy's the CEO of this, you know, he hates my guts, and this guy over here is okay, but he's leaving the country. And that lady over there, I'm kind of working on her, but, you know, she's just ignorant. She got ignorant people that are ultra rich. You got really hardworking folks that made their money themselves or took some family money and made it even bigger. They're almost always free market. They believe in people. They believe in humanity. They like getting down in the trenches. They're not disgusted by the masses of people. But you get around a globalist gangster, they are the most neurotic weirdos. Their staff won't look them in the eyes. They're totally hateful. They're super cold. They're always into beating people sexually. That's what the elites are into, is hurting people. That's their sexual fetish. I don't mean like some light spanking or something. I mean really brutal stuff. And they're into being brutalized. They like hurting good things. Pedophilia is rampant in the elites. Just rampant. And you see that in the sociology, it comes out, but it's much worse than the statistics show. It is, I know so many people that also know really rich people, some of the biggest names in America, and I'll say, at dinner, I'll say, tell me, what are they into sexually? And I'll say, what are they into religiously? And always out of the person's mouth is Satanism, the occult. I mean, these are really unhappy people. And that's all they've got, to the darkness. And I don't mean some guy that goes to a rock and roll show and wears a pentagram T-shirt because he thinks the devil's cool. I mean people with helicopters and 15 jets and 20 mansions and, you know, had mistresses when they were 15 years old and now have, you know, just sex operatives all over the place. I mean, these folks are completely jacked. And they know talent when they see it, too. They know resistance when they see it. And I told people this 18 years ago, and I've told people this over time, and now folks can see that it was true. A lot of it's come out in the news, but I personally was offered, you know, to join the New World Order repeatedly, off record. And people say, well, just tell us who. Well, then if I do that, I've lost the confidence. I don't, even if it's a bad person, if they're not telling me something illegal and it's in confidence, I don't ever tell them. I don't ever tell. I don't tell my wife about it. Plus, it's dangerous type stuff. But this morning I was on the elliptical and I really had a big epiphany. I was watching some show called Bling on VH1. They had it on. I wasn't watching it. And it was just flashing this purse, this car, this thing for the masses to watch. It was just the most soul-sucking garbage. And it's like, who would sell out for that, to hang around with a bunch of those mummies?
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
In the 15-year history of PrisonPlanet.tv, we have never offered 6 months free at Christmas. We've always offered 5 months free. But since I announced 6 free months a few days ago, we have seen record numbers of signups. PrisonPlanet.tv began 15 years ago. It's grown into InfoWars, Nightly News, and so much more. All of my documentary films, scores of ebooks, and other exclusive documentaries are available for streaming or download in HD at PrisonPlanet.tv. You don't just get 6 months free when you sign up from Christmas through New Year's. You also get to share that membership with up to 20 people simultaneously using your username. You can also sign up for a trial month and only pay $5.95. And then 20 of you and your friends and family can watch PrisonPlanet.tv, get 20 memberships at half price, be the Paul Revere in your community. That's 6 months free when you sign up for a year at PrisonPlanet.tv.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order 2 bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
To have on to give us more information about the Benghazi hearings and about the current situation that he predicted back when Benghazi happened, now unfolding in Syria. And that's because he ran Operation Stratus, Ivy, Able Danger, and other secret operations against al-Qaeda and the Wahhabists in Afghanistan and other countries. And he was ordered not once but twice to not pull the trigger to kill bin Laden when they knew exactly where he was. In 2001, before 9/11. We just, of course, had Michael Savage on the last hour. Dr. Jerome Corsi's coming up in the next hour. Colonel Schaefer joins us for the next 20 minutes. LondonCenter.org is one of the consultancies he is engaged in. He, of course, blew the whistle about some of the stand downs going after bin Laden. They tried to persecute him as a whistleblower, but he survived that thanks to support. He's also a best-selling author, has a new book out we'll tell you about as well. But before we do that, I just got to say, wow, Colonel Schaefer, it's got to be good for you being one of the first people to expose what was happening in Benghazi, and I know taking a lot of heat, to now see more and more of it come out. Has that taken some of the heat off you?
Well, yes and no, Alex. I mean, I think you and others have supported me on this from day one. Thank you. With that said, it's been a very unpopular position even now because, you know, at the heart of this is really Hillary Clinton, who is the chosen one for the Democrat candidacy for president. So as much as I think rational people, and by the way, I've been getting questions from the left, some of my friends on the left saying, hey, do you really think this is all true? It's like, yeah, it's all true. And I think the hearings should have, if it was a Democrat Congress questioning a Republican candidate, it would have been a lower for that candidate. But instead, the very email, Alex, which completely showed that she, Ms. Clinton, was lying. And even in the end, when they asked her about the arms deal, which, by the way, has been highly documented by the investigation, by whistleblowers, everybody knows there was an arms deal at the heart of Benghazi. She got away with lying about that, which, frankly, at this point, my understanding is that Congress is now looking at perjury charges because they have evidence that she did know about the arms deal of trying to get these arms moved around Libya, moving them into Turkey, which then in turn they would be moved into Syria. And by the way, another guy who I respect immensely was involved in that. Lieutenant General Mike Flynn, the director of BIA, has admitted on the record that, yes, he was part of the arms deal. He was directed to do this sort of thing. So, Alex, that there's just no doubt about what was at the center of Benghazi, and yet the mainstream media continues to ignore it, and people like me are continued to, you know, Media Matters even now consistently says that somehow I'm fantasizing about what happened in Benghazi. It's truly bizarre.
Well, you were one of the first within a week of it happening to come on this show and to go on Fox and other channels and talk about an arms deal, talk about the Turkish ambassador, to break down what happened, to warn about missiles getting into the hands of Al-Qaeda, the fact that ISIS, once it came up a few years ago, you said, no, that is a Wahhabist group as well, Al-Nusra's right. Al-Qaeda. That's all been right. Proven to be accurate now, and we right. See this whole thing metastasizing. You said last year that there should be criminal charges in a Newsmax article for Hillary and the clear cover-up. So I would imagine that in a way you might be under more heat now because it is an election year.
Well, this is interesting because that's yes and no. Because clearly, Alex, part of the issue now becomes talking to the other side. The Republicans use this to their advantage. So I think if Hillary does survive the primaries, the Republicans are going to go into this with a great deal of ammunition to use against her. Because this is all, again, on the record. So yeah, I think my Democrat friends are pretty upset with me about the fact that, you know, there are Democrats who actually recognize what's going on, but because they're so loyal to their party, they choose to look the other way. And those are the guys I think I'm most with odds with. But then again, you know, we've talked to part of what I do. My job is to talk to presidential candidates. I can't say by name who they are, but we've talked to them all as best we can. And the idea is we're going to give them factual information that is based on what is known and can be proven via hard copy documents. So this now, at this point, like you point out, Alex, this is all hard copy, well-researched, fully recognized as fact that there was an arms deal, that Hillary Clinton was involved, that the deal went bad, and she knew the night of the attack or the day after, the 12th of September, that you had Al-Qaeda terrorists involved. And frankly, I still stand by my belief that they were fully willing to allow Chris Stevens to go to his death knowing something was going to happen.
Sure. Well, I've interviewed other whistleblowers after you've been on, Tosh Plumlee, others, CIA pilots and others, and I've talked to other military people. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's known that there were drones overhead. You said that years ago. It's come out. You've come out and said you've gotten intel that Obama was watching a part of the 7 hours as it unfolded.
I stick by that comment, yes.
Well, this is just outrageous then. I mean, is it an arms deal and they didn't know what to do? Or does it go further? Did somebody in a government outside of Al-Qaeda want to get rid of the ambassador so there wouldn't be any fingerprints on this arms transfer?
Well, it's very clear at this point that Stevens was the key. He was the pivot man. He knew everything. He was involved. You know, it was his interest to do this. They really thought, Alex, at the time, and this is one of the big misconceptions I think we're going to continue to face for this mistake for years, that the Muslim Brotherhood would be a trusted ally, that they would be a good ally, a good proxy to work with us in place of our other Arab allies. And that was what their assumption was. So I think when they started seeing that the Brotherhood was not going to be a good partner, they were too far in to say, we can't just stop it. I think they got themselves in over their head. I think Chris Stevens was part of that, that completely ill-thought, badly managed effort to bring the Brotherhood into essentially our sphere of influence. And I think because of that, because they all start going bad. And look, Hillary Clinton is not a stupid woman at all. I think they recognized that as much as they needed to get rid of information, to get rid of people, this was a good way to sure. kind of let things fly. And that, and that's why you didn't see, I mean, Alex, think about this. This was about a little more than a 2 months out before a major presidential election. How is it you don't do maximum effort to go recover an ambassador who goes missing? Think about that. If it was under any other president that I know of, that would have been the primary thing. Everybody would have been scrambling to figure out where he was at.
Well, we know they were countermanding the orders exactly. of the military exactly. to save these people. And so exactly. when they get caught, I mean, we know they did it. It's going to bring them all down.
And as you stipulate, there is documentary evidence, again, that someone ordered every command. And then keep in mind, Alex, there's an automatic process. Once a terror attack is undergoing, once an embassy is under siege, there's an automatic process which kicks in. It's basically the worst-case scenario. People start moving. Someone called around to every command and control headquarters and stopped it. So that means someone had to literally intercede directly in stopping all of the military actions from occurring. And this remains one of those areas where we know bits and pieces. We don't know the whole picture. But, yes, someone did order all the forces which would have been scrambling to get to Libya to stand down. So that, why would you do that? So that remains a big
question. Let me ask you this big question. Now that we see the aftermath years later, ISIS, which is just al-Qaeda, as you do in your organization, you go around and educate Congress, you educate the candidates. Right. You're in an info war with the truth. When the White House 3 years ago was saying, oh, these are all good rebels, they're wonderful, you went and exposed that with other military people that it was almost all radical Saudi Arabian Wahhabists. So they right. clearly know that. Then what are they thinking? What's the end game? Where is this going? What are they going to do? Like I asked you years ago when this first happened, what are they going to do when radicals use those Stinger missiles and other surface air missiles to shoot down airliners? They can't cover it all up. What's going to unfold? What were they thinking? I mean, you know, in the old days, just 15 years ago, you used to run missions, some of it's come out in the news, trying to find old Stingers. You guys would go through all sorts of hell just to get a right. few old Stingers. Now you've got hundreds of modern ones being given to these crazies. What is the establishment thinking?
Well, at this point in time, I think that's part of the issue, is they got completely out of control. They know, for example, Alex, that these things are kind of scattered all over. And I think this is where the real fear remains, because the last time a credible terrorist organization tried this was al-Qaeda in 2002 in Kenya, where they attempted to take down two Israeli charter aircraft. It didn't work for any number of reasons, thank goodness. But imagine now we have that situation where al-Qaeda does have, and ISIS does have, literally crates of these things. And I think this is where we don't know what's going on, and I think we're blind. What's the end game? Well, I don't know exactly what the leadership was thinking, other than they thought they could cut deals with some of these really worst of the worst terrorists, to think that they could be our partners in the Middle East to bring some level of different stability. And frankly, you know, the whole thing of trying to partner with the Free Syrian Army and the al-Nusra Front, it was all ill-conceived. But I think, to be honest with you, there's an arrogance on the left, Alex, that permeates their thinking, where they think they're the smartest people in the room. This is the analogy is Enron, where you had Jeffrey Skilling right down there in Texas and Enron thinking that they were the smartest guys in the room, and they could do things that no one else has ever done. And I think that thought has been one of the problems with the left, where they will think, you know, despite the fact they have all these people available to them who will help educate them, they think they're smarter than everybody else, and they go off on these really idiotic, ill-conceived
sure.
Concepts of operations which result in a tragedy, and I think that's what's going on here.
Well, I want to recap one of the best moments I've seen in the U.S. Army and just the Pentagon in general, really showing some moral leadership. I mean, I wouldn't say mutiny against the president, but just not following illegal orders. As you know, and if you can talk about some of the inside baseball that's not classified, I'd like to hear some more, but even came out in the news, 2 years ago, when Rand Paul and Senator Cruz and others were saying we're not going to be al-Qaeda's air force, the military even before that, was holding up the signs on the internet saying, we're not going to be in a Syrian civil war. We're not going to back Al-Qaeda. We're not going to be part of it. And then the chairman of the Joint Chiefs at the time, General Dempsey, on that Saturday night, went to Obama. And it even came out later. I was told this, but it came out months later and said, do not do this. You cannot do it. It is insane. The military had to go along with it. That is such a historic moment, and that's got to really concern the criminals that are running this government. I'm just going to say it. That's like a moment where it's not Operation Valkyrie with the military trying to take out Hitler in Germany. It's just the military saying, we're not going to follow that order.
Well, everybody recognized, Alex, that the people we were trying to support were indeed completely affiliated, if not wholly owned, by Al-Qaeda. So why would you do that? And this is where, you know, the solution would be worse than the problem. Look, no doubt here, President Assad is a bad guy. He has killed his own people. He is truly a despot. But frankly, we recognize what happened in Libya when we allowed for those elements to include Al-Qaeda. And by the way, do you remember, Alex, Gaddafi was warning us, saying, hey, these people who are opposing me are not the simple, you know, revolutionary thinkers who want democracy. These people, these folks are Al-Qaeda. And sure enough, we have a combination of Al-Qaeda and ISIS now running Libya. So this is clearly something the military and the people I deal with understood from day one. And you cannot bring in Al-Qaeda thinking that they're going to be an ally to get rid of Assad and think somehow they're going to continue to support your position. We tried this in Afghanistan. We helped create something called the Haqqani Network as part of the Pakistani intelligence service back in the 80s to go against the Russians. Well, once the Russians left, the Haqqani Network supported coming after us. They've been one of the main killers of U.S. and Afghan forces since we've been there. So we cannot believe for a minute that Al-Qaeda or its affiliates or anyone who believes like Al-Qaeda can be dealt with in a friendly way to achieve a short-term objective and think somehow they're not going to come back after us to attack us after that fact. I think Dempsey recognized that. A number of us recognize that. But again, we have these political leaders who, Alex, think they're smarter than everybody else, and they continue to try to do these truly insane, dangerous things.
Colonel Schaefer's our guest, LondonCenter.org. Just segueing briefly, one of your latest books predicts the breakdown of the border, basically a soft civil war. This was 2 years ago, and you said, watch, it's coming. You know, this is a lot of stuff I couldn't put in a nonfiction book, so I put it in a fiction book. I want to talk about that book some. I want to talk about what's happening in Europe. But the controlled left, they're not just this stupid. They really hate the West. They said that. The head of the UN Migrant Agency, Peter Sutherland, has said we want to get rid of Western culture. They're bringing in, they admit, 80% military-age men. They're mainly the folks that invaded Syria. They're not really Syrian rebels. I mean, I know you know all this. They're not really Syrian refugees. What is the plan? Open borders here, open borders there. What is the left trying to do? Why are they so affiliated with radical Islamicists that would put a hood over their wife's head and literally not let women drive cars? Why is the left supporting these people?
Well, I think the left is essentially the vanguard of the third world. I mean, I had a friend of mine basically posit that this morning. Basically, they are the third world, and they're trying to make cuts to the third world. So that's why you see this sort of thing. They want to import people who will radicalize, who will de-establish the basic Western principles which have made us very strong. The conditions that we've created in the West, Alex, for better or for worse, are the best mankind has ever seen. We have the most people ever who have clean water, clean homes, a good healthcare system, which is now being diminished by Obamacare and, again, this third world idea that we have to be essentially treat everybody the same. That's what they want. This idea, they use fairness as a value to say, you know, Alex, you live too high. You shouldn't be living as well as you do. You shouldn't have a nice car. You should be living at a level like someone lives in say, rural Kenya. And their idea of fairness is we're all the same. And anything extraordinary, anything that's good or bad, it's all the same. So I think that's why you see the left work so hard here to destabilize.
That's right.
Every Western nation. That's something we have to be aware of.
And then you've got these ultra-rich that make their money off of government contracts, waging war against new rich who actually create jobs and wealth, teaming up with the third world. It is just sickening to watch. Well, here's the key. You predicted, it's just crazy how accurate you've been, Colonel Schaefer. I'm not kissing your butt. It's just no brag, just fact. You predicted right when Benghazi happened that next is Syria. Then you said next is Europe. What are they going to do? I think it's not a question of if, but when. They try or they succeed to shoot down one or more major passenger liners on the outskirts, maybe Eastern Europe, Russia, wherever they can get these missiles. How can they get the missiles into Western Europe? Can they get them into the U.S.? How long till that happens, or am I wrong? Can we stop it? And then what do you see happening in Syria?
Well, this is kind of a twofer. What you see right now, as you point out aptly, is that these males, these so-called refugees, are not actually military-age males, are going into the vanguard. And the first thing you do as a terrorist organization, Alex, you set up a trusted network, a clandestine network. Once you have the network in place, you can move these things around with impunity. Right now, they don't have a trusted network that can do that. You saw the attacks in France where ISIS was able to, and Al-Qaeda was able to do a few things under the radar.
They're finding AK-47s full auto from the Middle East now in France.
Exactly. So that was it. That was the first test. Okay, it worked. So now then, if you see it works, then you expand it. So now you see the expansion of phase one of getting all these people into Europe and setting up trusted and clandestine networks. After the network's in place, Alex, they can move the missiles around with impunity. There's no way law enforcement or intelligence can stop and search every single vehicle moving around or every single boat coming in and out. So, again, once you flood the market, so to speak, it makes it infinitely easier to move weapons such as Stingers around. You can do it with an AK-47 on a low scale. It basically increased by an order of magnitude, and then you can do it with impunity. That's where they're going with all this.
The Russians, where do you see the situation in Syria going? How big of a defeat to Obama was it that Putin came in? Do you think the Russians are being suckered into a new Afghanistan? What about the plane being shot down?
I think the Russians are seeing, I think it was an attack. I think it was done by a Lockerbie-type attack where you had a bomb on the aircraft or a suicide bomber. All the pictures I've seen, Alex, indicate to me that it was an explosion from the inside, not an explosion from the outside.
Got it. So, bomb inside.
Right. And so I think the Russians have got their first real casualties in the war. And God bless them. I'm glad they're going. They need to stabilize Syria if they can. This is our one joint objective, should be, is stabilizing Syria. Even if you don't like Assad, stabilize Syria, because otherwise you're going to continue to see Al-Qaeda and ISIS kind of using that region as a base of operations.
And, of course, Al-Qaeda hits Russia even more than they hit us on average.
Right.
What do you expect the Russians to do if some of the voices calling for some type of military containment or a no-fly zone? I mean, we've all heard the talk from former generals, let's start killing Russians. That's some really dangerous talk.
It is. No, the Russians are doing what I think we should have been doing. I think it's why it's such a big blow to President Obama, frankly, Alex. And with that said, you know, our military, I've talked to the folks at the Pentagon, our military will continue to conduct itself professionally with the Russians. We're not going to do anything to antagonize them. As much as I think that can't be said of the other side. With that said, we've got to come to an agreement of what we're focused on regarding joint objectives. Unfortunately, long term, we have to accept, Alex, that they're trying to put together what I would call the Damascus Pact, essentially a form of the Warsaw Pact in the Middle East, where they're joining the Iranians, Syria, and Russians together, and we have to look at how we can counter that long term. But for now, we have joint objectives regarding stabilizing Syria and trying indeed to stabilize the region. That's what we should focus on.
Sure, let's not romanticize Russia. Their elites are just as corrupt as some of ours. But
exactly. We
can't lose the moral high ground and back a jihad Al-Qaeda army to run around murdering hundreds of thousands of Christians.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. And I think that's what we need to understand. The Russians and us, if we share that one focus area, we should focus on that for now and then worry about worry about what to do after we defeat ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
I really appreciate you giving us time. LondonCenter.org.
Sure.
Spend a minute on your books you've written and the one predicting the border situation.
Well, the last line, Alex, you've done a great job of allowing me to talk about it. Look, we recognize that you live there, clearly there than I do. In fact, the border's breaking down. People want it to break down. So the last line, essentially, is kind of looking at all the different people who could be involved, and essentially, like you point out, a soft coup d'etat, looking at people who have interests that are really meant to undermine and soften our ability to defend the nation. That's ongoing, and it's something we have to all be concerned about. My first book, Operation Darkheart, is about the war in Afghanistan and how we need to go about trying to – we can still pull a victory out there, and I'm hopeful that we can do a lot more to stabilize that area as well. But it takes parts. It does not take political types who wish basically to reinforce their own political power and not protect the American people, and that's what we should be focused on.
It's scary to have political leadership that's never been in the military telling the military what to do and then seeing these disasters. Colonel Schaefer, thank you so much, and thank God for being there. You're a real hero, not just what you did in the military, but what you've done now to get the information to Congress and the people. It's been so accurate. Thank you so much, Colonel.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's an amazing person right there. He has risked his life so much domestically for what he's done on Benghazi. That's one of the main sources that's getting close to bringing Hillary down. Stay with us. We'll be back.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Every year, millions of Americans are unknowingly letting government institutions and megacorporations steal billions of dollars of their money. And it's all possible because in the hustle and bustle of daily life, we forget to use those holiday gift cards. The numbers are staggering. In the past 5 years alone, $41 billion of consumer gift cards went completely unspent. That's $41 billion taken directly from our back pockets. Don't let them win. Instead, use your gift cards to help support the InfoWar and get 15% off when you use the promo code GIFT15 at checkout at InfoWarsStore.com. Many gift cards are universal and work just like credit cards. But don't worry, if yours doesn't, just to promote the concept of using the money on your gift cards, the discount goes to everybody that uses the promo code. That's promo code GIFT15. Don't donate your money to the banksters. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help fund the tip of the spear in the fight for human liberty.
We've had an amazing year here at Supernatural Silver. We've truly enjoyed the fantastic response from thousands of people as they've tried our extraordinary product, and we're thrilled at the life-changing results people have. Our company email is continually full of happy, satisfied customers who thank us for the help they've received from Supernatural Silver. This holiday season, as you think of gifts to give your loved ones, consider giving Supernatural Silver, a gift that can help provide good health and wellness, a gift that can change lives and make a real difference in a world where we are constantly exposed to dangerous health threats. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance. Give Supernatural Silver. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code HOLIDAY2015 for 20% off. And this holiday season, we wish you and yours the blessings of peace and good health from all of us here at SupernaturalSilver.com.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Well, we had Matt Drudge about a month ago in studio. Only does an interview every 3-4 years, and I thought that got me excited. But I'm telling you, Donald Trump is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, for the next 30 minutes or so. And obviously, he is a maverick. He's an original. He tells it like it is. Doesn't read off a teleprompter. Neither do I. He's self-made. This whole media operation that reaches 20 million people a week worldwide, conservatively self-made. That's why I'm so excited. And he joins us from Trump Tower in New York City. He is the leading 2016 Republican presidential contender. Donald Trump, again, joins us. And I've got so many questions. But first off, Donald, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. Great to be with you.
I've got so many questions, but you are vindicated. This has got to be the 50th time in the last 6 months on the radical Muslims celebrating, not just in New Jersey, but New York, Palestine, all over. What do you have to say? They're still attacking you, though we've got Dan Rather on video. We've got New York Post. We've got Washington Post. We've got, what's going on here?
Well, I took a lot of heat, and I was very strong on it, and I held my line, and then all of a sudden, you know, hundreds of people were calling up my office. I was the other day in Sarasota, Florida, and people are online, and we had 12,000 people, which is fantastic. And the people were saying, many of the people from New Jersey, four or five people said, Mr. Trump, I saw it myself. I was there. They talked about Patterson, but they said, I saw it myself, Mr. Trump. I was there. So many people have called in, and on Twitter, at Real Donald Trump, they're all tweeting. So I knew it happened, and I held my line, and people wanted me to apologize, and we can't do that. People like you and I can't do that so easily. Now, we can do it if we're wrong, Alex. You apologize. I'd apologize if I was wrong. But they were celebrating, and they were celebrating the fall of the World Trade Center. I think that's disgraceful.
It is. And that same week you were reporting on that fact, we had two different international football games, soccer games, with the Turkish fans and others during the moment of silence for the dead people in Paris chanting Allah Akbar and booing. So did that not happen too?
Well, that happened and everybody saw it. That was a week ago and the players were out on the field and they couldn't believe it. They were embarrassed. They didn't know what to do. The coach and the managers, they all apologized, but it happened. Look, we have to deal with reality. And, you know, it all started because I said we need surveillance. We need proper surveillance. We have people that truly are evil. And they're coming from someplace, and you know sort of where they're coming from, at least the vicinity. And I said, we need proper surveillance, whether it's a mosque or any place else. We have to be surveilled, and we have to see what's coming at us, because we're not going to have a country anymore. Between the weak borders that we have, the pathetic and weak borders where politicians are afraid to do anything about it, between all of what's happening with radical, you know, you look at what's going on. You have a president that doesn't even want to talk about, you know, the radical Muslim stuff. He doesn't want to mention the word. He doesn't want to say it. But you look at what's happening where we have a president that's over there celebrating global warming and trying to get everybody excited about global warming. Like, that's our number one problem. He considers that to be our number one problem. And our number one problem is what's going on where they want to blow up our cities and they want to blow up our country. That's our number one problem.
And then our number two problem is Crippled America, your number one New York Times bestseller. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but let's continue with the number one problem, and I agree with you. It's now in mainstream news, Associated Press and others are reporting that it's a secret deal with Turkey, with the Germans, with Merkel, the admitted socialist, to bring in millions of radical Islamists. They admit almost all of them are Sunni. They basically invaded Syria. They're getting their butt kicked by the Russians, so now they want to flee up to the north into Turkey. You said months ago, bomb the oil of ISIS, and the mainstream media laughed because you said the sky was blue again. Now the Pentagon says that's the right thing to do. And now you've come out saying, quote, it looks like that Turkey's on the side of ISIS, close quote. Well, that the next day the Russians released satellite photos documenting that there are literally thousands of trucks coming up to the border at these huge terminals connected to Irgun, the president's son, making billions of dollars total off of this. Again, you're in trouble for saying the sky is blue.
Well, I was right about that. I was right in saying in a book that I wrote, you covered it really nicely, I appreciate it, but I wrote a very political book years ago in the year 2000, The America We Deserve, and I said in that book that we better be careful with this guy named Osama bin Laden. I mean, I really study this stuff. I really find it very interesting, and even though I'm a businessman, I've always have been involved in politics. I said, we better be careful with Osama bin Laden. There's a guy named Osama bin Laden. Nobody really knew who he was, but he was nasty. He was saying really nasty things about our country and what he wants to do to it. And I wrote in the book, 2000, 2 years before the World Trade Center came down, I talked about Osama bin Laden. You better take him out. I said, he's going to crawl under a rock. You better take him out. And now people are seeing that. They're saying, you know, Trump predicted Osama bin Laden, which actually is true. And then 2 years later, a year and a half later, he knocked down the World Trade Center. And I talked about terrorism in that. That was before terrorism as we know it today. I said, we better be careful. That's going to happen. It's going to be a big thing. And it certainly is a big thing. So with the oil, and I'm glad you brought it up, but as you know, for 3 years, I've been saying you better take out the oil, because if you don't take the oil, it's going to be a problem. So we shouldn't have been in Iraq. But once we got there, the way we came out was horrible. And I said, take the oil. Then we didn't take the oil. So ISIS got the oil. And as you know, Iran is getting the oil because Iran is going to take over all of Iraq. You know, we made one of the worst deals in the history of our world when we gave them $150 billion and virtually we gave them keys to nuclear weapons. One of the
Mr.
most.
Mr. Trump, I hate to interrupt you. You are the leading presidential front runner with the Republicans gaining a huge lead as you don't back down. But I've got to just back you up again because the more I research what you've actually said and done, it's amazing. You were the only leading American figure who openly said do not go to war in Iraq. They had almost, 90% votes in Congress for it, bipartisan. You said don't do it. Iran will take over. Look, you can say that today, and everybody can say that, but you said that in 2001, 2002, 2003, when it was very unpopular because you've done your research and had good advisors. How did you know that when almost no one else did?
Well, first of all, I'm the most militaristic person there is. I'm going to build the military. If I win, I'm going to make our military so strong, so powerful that nobody's going to mess with us. We're going to take care of our vets and all of that. But I have to tell you, you have to know if you're going to go to war, you have to do it properly and you have to know what to do. I viewed it as this. Iran and Iraq were the same in terms of strength. And they'd constantly fighting. That's all they do is they fight, right? They go to war all the time and they'd move 10 feet left, 10 feet right, 10 feet left, then they'd rest. And then it started again 4 years later. This has been gone on for forever. And this is the way it is. I said, if you take out Iran or if you take out Iraq, either one, you're going to destabilize the Middle East. Well, we took out Iraq. And by the way, Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world. People don't even know that. So we gave incredible. We took out Iraq. I said, you're going to destabilize. Well, and I said, and you'll know this and you know this, and I appreciate what you just said. Then Iran is going to come in and Iran is going to take over Iraq. And they're just taking it over right now. As we speak, they're taking it over. Iran is running Iraq and very soon will be virtually going to be totally running Iraq, especially after all of the deal we just made, which is the worst. So I said, keep the oil. And I said, if you're going to leave, you shouldn't have gone in, but they should have left soldiers behind, 20,000 or a certain number of soldiers. But if you're going to leave, take the oil. And I've said it. Then they left. They didn't take the oil. So ISIS got the oil. Iran is getting the oil. Everybody's getting everything but us. So we lost thousands of soldiers. We spent $2 trillion in Iraq. We have wounded warriors who I love all over the place. And what do we get out of it, Alex? We had nothing. We had nothing.
So, no, the French and the Germans are getting the oil, and the Iranians are getting the oil.
And you know who the number one customer for the oil is? Guess what? China.
That's right.
How smart is China? They outsmart us on every level militarily. They outsmart us on trade, We're losing. We have a $450 billion trade deficit with China.
Let me ask you this. You're a top business guy, on your own from nothing. How did China get 97% of rare earth minerals in the world? How is the United States or nobody else even trying to get rare earth minerals when it's what goes into smartphones, the computers, trillions is made a year? How did we just give them the global market in that? That's crazy.
Well, what a lot of people don't know, Afghanistan. Now, Afghanistan's a place we can go in because, you have Pakistan and you have nuclear weapons, a lot of things going on there. But we go into Afghanistan, we're fighting, tremendous mountains and ridges. We're fighting on one side, and you know who's got their excavators on the other side?
China,
taking out all the minerals. You know, Afghanistan, nobody knew this. Afghanistan is rich with minerals, not oil, but minerals.
Lithium, everything.
And China's taking out all the minerals. And here we are fighting. We have trillions. We have $1 trillion in Afghanistan, and we get nothing out of it. And we're going to end up leaving and keeping a couple of thousand soldiers there and this and that. We get nothing. China is taking out the minerals. They're the buyers, the big buyers at very, very low prices of, as you know, of the oil in Iraq and probably in Syria. But China is a big buyer of the oil. But one thing with the oil, because you've covered it, for 3 years, I've been saying hit the oil because ISIS is getting strong and they're no JV, as the president said, and they're certainly not contained. But I said hit the oil and hit them hard. And they laughed at me and they would put generals on television saying, no, that strategy wouldn't work. Well, after Paris, they started hitting the oil and it does work. The problem is we've given them a 2 year edge. They have billions of dollars.
The Russians started hitting the oil for 1 month and ISIS is already rolling over. So Putin is following your strategy. Vladimir Putin well.
We should have done it 2 years ago, Alex. That's the only problem.
Trump joins us live. Can you speak to, as president, what your relationship would be with foreign leaders and what you know about Vladimir Putin? Because all I know is, why are we starting a fight with Russia when they're not doing anything to us?
Right. Well, number one, and just to finish on the oil, by the way, I say hit the oil, but we should keep the oil. In other words, we should keep. We'll get ExxonMobil. They'll go in. We'll get other of our oil companies. We'll get some of the great oil companies. We bid it out. We should keep the oil. You know, in the old days, to the victor belong the spoils, right? We don't have that. We go in, we fight a war, and we leave. We get nothing, except we get debt and we get deficit. That's all we get. I think I get along great with people. I mean, I will probably get along well with him, and if I don't, somebody else will, and who knows? You know, he's a difficult cookie. He's tough and he's smart. I was on the show 60 Minutes with him recently, not together. I mean, they did him and they profiled me at the same show, which was we were stable mates, right? But I think I'd get along very well with him. I think it'd do fine. Look, here's the thing. We lose with every country, and yet we don't get along with any countries. China is killing us. Everybody's killing us. China's just beating us to a pulp on trade. Japan, Mexico is killing us, and yet we don't get along with anybody. With me, they're not going to get so rich. Believe me, they're not going to get so rich at all. We're going to take back our jobs. We're going to take back our manufacturing. We take back our base. But they'll like us more than they do now. Sort of amazing.
Well, Donald Trump, let me say this. My audience, I'd say 90% supports you. Okay. Right. And you definitely have shown your knowledge of geopolitical systems. Hillary and others have been demonizing you for saying radical Muslims celebrated on 9/11, but she got caught a few years ago claiming that she got shot at in Bosnia, in the air, on the ground. They have video of it all. None of it happened. She admits she lied. If you did that, you'd be done. But you wouldn't do something like that. You don't steal glory from our veterans. But they demonize you for made-up scandals every day, trying to see what'll stick. And you got Hillary involved in Benghazi. You've got them involved in everything. And people love you for tough talk. Is it not time for impeachment hearings against Obama? I mean, what do we do politically to really try to prosecute Hillary Clinton?
Well, you remember this. The best thing that we have going with Obama is he's got a year left, okay? Because, you know, by the time you do the hearings and everything, I don't...
So don't make him a martyr.
In a way, you'll make him a martyr. But I don't even say that. You know, one of the things that I'm the most disappointed in Republicans, because they go to Washington, they're going to do all this stuff, they're going to impeach Obama, they're going to end Obamacare, which has to be ended. It's a disaster. I don't know if you've seen the premiums. They're going up...
It's killing everything.
55%. You know, it's going to implode anyway. In 2017, Obamacare blows up. It's over. I mean, it's over, and everybody knows it, and they're doing big stories. Even the ones that were for it are saying, uh-oh, this isn't working. Well, the premiums are a disaster, and if you look at anything having to do with Obamacare right now, it's over. But the problem with the Republicans is they'll try and fix it. They'll try, instead of get rid of it, and we can come up with a phenomenal plan that's much better for the people. The people are getting killed with that. So there's so many things to do, Alex. We will do such a good job. There's so many fronts. A number. We'll win on trade. We're going to strengthen our military. We're going to take care of our vets. We're going to get rid of Obamacare. We're going to do so many things. There's so many things that can be done, but we have to use our good people. You know, everybody running against me in terms of even the Republican side, and Hillary certainly, they're all controlled by their donors and their special interests and the lobbyists, right? I'm putting up my own money. I'm funding my own campaign. Nobody's going to control me. I'm going to do what's right for you and for the American people.
Listen, I get it. I mean, you are a true maverick. I understand. You made tens of millions of dollars. You've hired tens of thousands of people. I mean, I would imagine that as you've gotten older, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you talked about wanting to serve America decades ago, really all it comes down to is wanting to have a free country for your children and grandchildren. And that's where I want to come to this point next. Because I know you're smart, sir, and I know that you also, though, you don't dumb your message down, but you keep it at a mid-level so the general public and the establishment as well can get it. But let's get down to brass tacks. I routinely talk to the top generals, special forces, Pentagon currently, out of the Pentagon, CIA, as I know you do, and we'll just leave it at that. There are a lot of people in this government and also retired who don't want to destroy the country. They really know that we've reached the crossroads where the country's done as a third world nation within a few more years. Forget Donald Trump in 4 years. If this happens, we're done. I mean, we're talking about resurrecting the dead here. We could turn it around right now, as you've said properly. You're dead on, sir. You're right. We could turn it around. All the actuaries, all the numbers show it. But it's got to happen the next few years or we're done.
Right.
And
there
are globalists that want to have a world government, a system run by select crony capitalists using socialism at the grassroots to make people dependent. And I've talked to not just high-level folks that have been in government that are on your team, but separately high-level people in government currently that say there's an internal war going on and that you're a manifestation of that. I don't want to get anything inside baseball with you, but I already know the inside baseball. I know now from top people that you actually are for real and you understand you're in danger and you understand what you're doing is epic. It's George Washington level. And you understand that office. So I want to tell you right now, can you speak about the war for the soul of this country that's happening right now and really tell people what's happening and commit to people that you won't Ross Perot under death threats and step down when you're in the lead 2 months from the election?
Okay, so let me just tell you, Alex, as you know, I'm leading in every poll nationally, in every poll state. I'm leading in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, the SEC, Texas. I'm leading in Texas, which I love. I love Texas. You know, we were there. Mark Cuban called up. He said, do you want to use the arena? I used it. We filled it up in 3 or 4 days, 20,000 people. In Mobile, Alabama, we had 35,000 people. We had 20,000 in Oklahoma. I'm so into this. And I'm not into it. You know, I could do other things that I would enjoy doing, to be honest with you.
No, you're doing a dangerous mission. We understand that.
It's not an easy thing. But the key is make America great again. We can make America great again. But if you have to suffer through 4 more or 8 more years of what's gone on in the past and you know, what's going, it's just, we're being eaten away. It's eating away at our country. And we can make, in my opinion, we can make America greater than ever before. But we have to get going. It has to happen. We have to get going. And, you know, when you look at the vision, I said Iraq, you agreed with me on Iraq. I said hit the oil. I said a lot of things that turned out to be true, 100% true. And I'm giving credit. I'm given credit by some people. Some people refuse to acknowledge it. You know, they refuse to say.
No, you've been absolutely on target. So what I'm asking is, though, can you speak to the crossroads we're at right now, though? Because you've talked about it. Are we at a crossroads to decide whether this country's done or whether we go to the next level?
Well, I think that if we don't get it right this time, I think this is going to be the most important election our country's ever had. I mean, you'd have to say George Washington is right there. You know, the couple of pretty important elections, right? But this is certainly in the modern era, this is the most important election our country's ever had. If we don't get it right, if we put another one of these people in, like Hillary, I mean, she's so corrupt. She is so corrupt, and she shouldn't even be allowed to run. And frankly, her greatest legacy, she was a horrible Secretary of State. If she runs, I think her greatest legacy will be that she got out of the email scandal. That's what I think. It'll be one of the greatest jobs I've ever seen of getting out of a scandal. Because General Petraeus and many others, I mean, their lives have been destroyed for doing 5% of what she did.
That's right.
So she shouldn't be allowed to run. But, you know, the recent Fox poll that just came down 2 days ago has me beating her head to head, which is very interesting and very good, and beating her soundly head to head. But we have to get it right. Our country can be absolutely, we can turn it around. But I would agree with you, if we don't get it right this time, I'm not sure if you go another 4 or 8 years with the insanity and the stupidity of these leaders, I'm not sure you're going to be able to turn it around anymore. I think it could be over.
Right. Donald Trump, the man in the arena, his new book, we're going to talk about in a moment, is exposing the fact this country is being sabotaged by design. Specifically, I don't want to bring up detractors. And it's a question I had early on, but then I did more research, and I understand that you really do want to save this country where your children and grandchildren live. But let's expand on this. There are certain pundits out there saying you played golf with Bill Clinton, and so you had to do business in New York, so you said nice things about Hillary. I get keeping your enemies closer when you're not, you know, in politics. I get it. I understand. I think that's what you did. But tell us specifically, and I don't think this now. I've seen it. I know you're for real. You wouldn't be saying the things you're doing. They're scared of you. The whole system's coming out against you. But promise us that you're not going to drop out at the key moment, keeping all the other Republicans out of view, and then Hillary races to the head, or Jeb Bush does, because as you know, folks are claiming you're a Clinton operative.
You know, I've never heard that. I heard it actually a few months ago, but I've hit her harder than anybody times 10, if you look at this.
You have.
I was a businessman. You know, I've only been a politician for 5 months. I hate to use the term because, you know, to all
you're talk, a statesman.
No politicians, but I've just been doing this for a very short period of time. I was establishment. You know, I was like a guy like you would say Trump is total establishment. And I was a big donor to a lot of different Republicans. But over the years, I've given to Democrats. I've given to Republicans. I've given to everybody because I had an obligation. I was a businessman. One of the magazines recently called me a world-class businessman. The truth is I did. I built an unbelievable company, tremendous assets, tremendous, not only that, iconic assets, very little debt, tremendous cash flow. It's a great company. And by the way, people now see how good when I did the filing. Everyone said, oh, he'll never file. It's almost 100 pages long, and it's an unbelievable company. So I built, which, by the way, The reason I say that, that's the kind of thinking our country needs. But I got along great with Clinton. I got along great with Harry Reid. I get along great with everybody because when I needed them, I didn't want to have argument. I didn't want to have somebody say, well, Clinton doesn't want it to happen.
Sure, you're not a loser. You don't get in mindless fights. You move forward with your agenda. But now you see America in trouble, and you're, hey, that's all sidelined now. Donald Trump's not working for Donald Trump. He wants to work for America.
Yeah, as a businessman, you couldn't have even functioned if you don't get along with
people. Yeah.
For example, in New York City, it's 95% Democrat. I mean, if I didn't get along with the Democrats, I wouldn't have one
I'll tell you, I mean, you did want the vice president, you know, position that's come out decades ago behind the scenes. I mean, I know you're a Republican. What about libertarianism? What's your view of libertarianism? And then I want to ask you, who's your favorite president, and who do you think your running mate might be? Folks think it's Ted Cruz.
Well, I think that libertarianism is sort of interesting. There are certain things that I really like about it, but, you know, keeping government out as much as possible. We need government for protection. We have to protect. When you look at these maniacs in the Middle East that want to destroy us, and, you know, the problem we have today, Alex, is the weaponry. If this were 100 years ago, I'd say forget about them. Let them keep fighting. They've been fighting all their lives. Let them keep fighting each other. Who cares? But the weaponry is so powerful, and they hate us so much that we have to now protect. So that's a big part of government. So there's a certain common sense to certain elements. And I do very well with the libertarians, frankly, you know, because they sort of get it and they get me. But we need bigger strength than I think the libertarians really want. And we need it. And we have to have it. We have to have it. If we don't have it, we're not going to have a country. If we don't have borders, we're not going to have a country. As far as running mates, it's too soon to say. I actually respect a couple of people that are on the stage. Some of them I have absolutely no respect for. They're, I mean, I think they're not very good at all at what they do. You look at what's going on. But I have respect for a number of people that are on the stage with me. I have respect for a lot of people that are throughout this country, you know, political people. I'll pick somebody I think that can really be a great vice president. Ultimately, has to be a great president because that's, you know, 90% of that function is, you know, if something bad happens, they got to be a good president. You have to view it from that standpoint. And my favorite president in the more or less modern era would be Ronald Reagan. I've always liked him.
I helped
him. And by the way, he was a Democrat. A lot of people don't know.
He was. Some
of a liberal Democrat, Alex, as you know. And he became a somewhat conservative. I wouldn't say the most conservative, but a somewhat conservative Republican.
But he wanted to make America great.
And he really did. He wanted to make. He had actually, let's make America great. That was his. And mine is, make America great again. So there's a little bit of a difference. But
my son, you know, finally sold me on being a bigger supporter of yours. I mean, I liked you, love Americana, you're pure Americana, but I'm still, you know, was research. But my 13-year-old son is really smart, does a lot of research. He watches all the debates, and he just really loves you. He is on cloud nine that you're here, Rex Jones, and it was his question, you know, which president was your favorite? But all time, who's your favorite?
Well, all time, I'd say Ronald Reagan, shorter term, I would say, well, you know, you look at Lincoln and you look at Washington, you have to go with, they're the classics, right, Alex? You know, you think in terms of the great classics, you have to go with the Lincolns and the Washingtons.
I agree. As a man's man, George Washington was a badass.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, that's what they say. They say he never told a lie. Let's hope that's true, okay? But George Washington was pretty good. But we had some great presidents. And we had some good presidents on the other side, too, in all fairness. But we will hopefully be right at the top of that list. We're going to make the country so strong, and we're going to make it financially secure. We can't owe $21 trillion because it's going to be that.
Well, that's
number
my final question. What type of an elite wants a Cloward and Piven bankrupt the country so socialists can run in and we all get handouts? What type of an elite is that? I mean, you've been around these people. Are they mentally ill, Donald Trump?
Well, we have to make our country rich again. You know, the other day I said to a woman, she came up to Mr. Trump at a big rally where we had 14,000 people. And at the end, she just sees me and I'm you know, signing autographs and stuff. And she said, Mr. Trump, I'm voting for you 100%. But are you, this whole concept of making it rich, it sounds so crass. I said, you know what, it might sound crass, but if we don't make our nation rich again, if we don't take back our jobs from all these other countries that are ripping us, and if we don't take back our money, and if we don't, you know, balance up our budget, at least get it damn close and soon, we're not going to have a nation anymore.
We're a third world country. Donald Trump, you know, I know you've got to go. 60-second break. I want to come back for just 3 minutes, talk about your...
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.